You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702 with Reedy Krabby. Email her on reedy at 702.co.za.
14 minutes to 4 o'clock. Now, you may ask, what's this got to do with me? Everything. Remember that protecting the climate, protecting the planet is one of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and everything related to that is something that should galvanize us into action. We have the country's first climate change lawsuit. The organization called Earth Life Africa. They are an environmental justice organization. They took the government to court, specifically the Environmental Affairs Department, represented, of course, by Minister Edna Mulewa. What happened here? She approved, or the department approved, a building on a new coal-fired power station. This approval was granted by the department even though there had been no comprehensive assessment of the climate change impacts of this new coal-fired power. There's been no assessment on the impact on the environment, and the organizations are also talking about us being a water-stressed country, and this particular area, the Waterberg, where the power station would be located, is particularly water stressed. So they took this matter to court, and today the High Court ruled in favor of Earth Life Africa. You must be celebrating, Nicole. Nicole Luza is the attorney at the Center for Environmental Rights, or the battle is not over yet?
Hi, Reedy.
So this is good news for the organization, or is there more are there more obstacles in the way?
No, this is certainly good news, and we are very excited about this decision. This is a landmark ruling because for the first time in South Africa, a court has confirmed that climate change impacts need to be considered as part of an environmental impact assessment for a coal-fired power station. Of course, what will now happen is the minister now needs to consider the climate change impacts of this proposed coal-fired power station and must then make a decision on whether or not the power station can go ahead. And of course, if the minister does make a decision that the power station must still go ahead despite the significant climate change impacts, then of course we'll need to reconsider the legal recourse. But for now, where things stand, the minister must consider the climate change impacts of this power station.
And just talking about your objections, I mean, I try to summarize them to the best of my ability, but just take us through why the department's decision was the wrong decision.
Well, firstly, as you said, there was no adequate or comprehensive consideration of climate change impact. So firstly, an important starting point is the fact that coal-fired power stations are the single largest contributor or single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in South Africa. So we're not talking about a small contribution. We're talking about significant greenhouse gas emissions that will be coming from this coal-fired power station, which will be contributing directly to climate change. And we have a national policy which acknowledges that South Africa as a country is extremely vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. So when we talk about the impacts of climate change, we're not just talking about the greenhouse gas emissions that the power station will be emitting. We're talking about much broader impacts, as you mentioned, water scarcity. That is one of them. We'll also be increasingly vulnerable to extreme weather events such as droughts and flooding. We'll also be seeing increased temperatures, and poor communities, marginalized communities, farmers, they will all be particularly susceptible to these impacts. So when we talk about this new coal-fired power station, not only will it be contributing to these impacts by virtue of its greenhouse gas emissions, it will also be worsening these impacts because it will be using and polluting the limited water that is needed by communities, farmers, and the environment.
I mean, there's a litany of reasons and justifications for why the department should not have made the decision that it had. We have the courts, and I think that is a positive thing, but you'd want the people who are making policy decisions to be in the know, to know exactly what the impact of those policy decisions are. So it's not a good thing that everything has to be adjudicated in a court simply because there can be no consensus or successful negotiation between different partners and stakeholders. What I want to know is, was there an attempt prior to this by EarthLife Africa to communicate with the department? Because as a citizen, I'm left thinking, who's advising the minister?
Yes, no, of course. I mean, we've raised these concerns on numerous forums and we've objected to other proposed coal-fired power stations, particularly on the basis that climate change impacts haven't been considered. Now, we know that the department is slowly but surely taking steps to get climate change regulations in place. They have ratified the Paris Agreement, signifying our intention to mitigate our greenhouse gas emissions. But in truth, it's just not enough is being done, and it's not being done fast enough, particularly given the significant impact and the people that will be the most and worst affected by these impacts. And we're seeing very important decisions being taken in relation to big infrastructural projects, mines, all these things that will increase our vulnerability to the impacts of climate change and also directly contribute to climate change. And these decisions are being taken without any consideration of climate change impacts. Mm-hmm. And it is a big problem. So we hope that this ruling today will send out an important message that these impacts can no longer be ignored.
Yeah. And also, Nicole, I mean, you don't have to go there if you don't want to, because I know you are an attorney, but I'm sure you are taking this on because environmental rights are something that is very close to your heart. But at a bigger philosophical level, you know, I find that South Africa is a signatory to all sorts of protocols internationally, whether it's about the treatment of refugees, whether it's about sexual violence, whatever. And climate change and environmental justice are some of the issues that we claim on paper, at least, to be passionate about. But when you actually interrogate our actions and utterances, we are found wanting and we're not actually walking the talk.
Yes, of course, particularly because a lot of the mitigation steps that we would need to take run counter to many vested interests and to this narrative of needing coal mines and needing coal-fired power stations for economic development and for the provision of jobs. But we're seeing very little consideration being given to, or very little adequate consideration being given to the very viable alternatives, such as renewable energy, and the fact that we need to start moving away from the fossil fuel industry, because frankly, our resources, our clean air and our water will be severely prejudiced if these projects go ahead and as a result of climate change going forward. I mean, a coal-fired power station isn't a short-term project. This is something that is very long-term. This coal-fired power station will be operating until the year 2060, at least. And by then, most of the world will presumably have moved away from coal and from fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we will too, given the significant impact that we're vulnerable to in this country.
All right. Nicole Luza, well, congratulations for your
Thank
victory,
you.
And I think it's a victory for the wider society. Thanks indeed for your time.
Great. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you. Nicole is attorney at the Center for Environmental Rights. In case you've just missed it, this is the country's first climate change lawsuit. The court ordered that the minister reconsider the appeal and that the minister should have given proper consideration to the climate change impacts of the proposed coal-fired power station before a decision could have been made to allow it to go ahead.